This is At the Races with Steve Vai.
From Kentucky down. Franklin, Kentucky, another pretty day. Cool and bright, and no racing, of course, today after yesterday's fourth day of the seven-day stand. We'll look at the results in a couple of minutes. But on the point to get into the weekend, closing Del Mar and big 2 days of racing here, going to hope for the best weather-wise. And, in fact, let's catch a glance ahead. Well, there's percentage, but there's middle part of tomorrow, some, they're calling it about a 40% chance. And then on Sunday had looked like Sunday had looked like the worst of the 2 days, but now actually feels like there's less of a chance on, less of a chance on Sunday for much rain. So yesterday turning out to be probably the nicest day. It was just idyllic here. I mean, warm and sunny and comfortable, and it made for just an incredibly fun afternoon. We'll get into the lineup and give you everything that's going on. Let me first say Sirius 219, XM 201, SportsZone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevevic.com. Couple of horses out on the expansive, weirdly shaped oval. Marty McGee is going to join us in about 6 minutes, precisely at 9:09. Marty laid out, he said 9:09, so that's when Marty will join us. We'll have a nice steady supply of opinions here for the weekend, because this card, Saturday particularly, this card with the as Hammer has laid out, the potential of $5 million races with these giant fields, unbelievable. So we'll get it from Marty first, and later from Marcus Hirsch in hour three. And I think all of us yesterday, Marty and me and Marcus, I mean, I got my brains beat in. And this is such a funny place. You know, you can have success like we did, you know, the first day, and we were doing well Saturday before the last four got canceled. And you basically apply the same principles on a card like yesterday, and you come up with next to nothing. And we're going to discuss, I think, a little bit more, bring it up with Marty and see his thoughts. And then later with Hammer, Hammer's got some, you know, he's kind of busy at the Gap. And so he'll swing by in hour two and or three. But one of the things that came up yesterday with Steve Asmussen, and I was watching, let me pull out the charts from yesterday. We were watching the maiden. Was it the maiden race? It was the maiden race, I believe. It was the race that he ended up finishing a decent kind of late closing second. And Steve had some thoughts. And, of course, later on with the mild upset it was more than a mild upset, I suppose, considering that Sharp as Attack was 25 cents on the dollar, 1-4. But Joel Rosario with Private Creed for Mike McCarty, the Sierra Farm Jimmy Creed, winning the juvenile sprint. And Joe preferred Private Creed to Sharp as Attack. So good job there. Paid $7.58. But earlier on the card, that it was the allowance race, and those two crazy $250,000 races that had the Keeneland sale status tied to them. It was the fourth race. Was watching it with Steve, and Roman Giant was the horse in question. Roman Giant, and Steve said, we were watching early, kind of fell behind early and looked awkward. And Steve said he's a big, heavy horse. And so coming downhill, and of course this was 6.5 furlongs, so they're basically starting at almost the highest point up on the hill, at the rise. And the horses are immediately coming downhill. And I've explained this countless times over the years. Horses have one fear. Well, several things upset them, but they've got one fear that's their natural mental state in the wild, and that's falling. They can run away from virtually any of their natural foes, and you know, when they're chased by cougars and mountain lions and so forth, they can outrun them, but not if they fall. A horse's footing is their absolute most important concern. And that's why all these surface discussions we have, and we've explained this repeatedly about how on dirt horses, and we discussed this came up just the other day on Tuesday at Presque Isle. On dirt, they slide as they run, and then their ankles, you know, they basically break over, as it's called, and they flick their hooves. On turf and synthetic, they stick. If a horse does not like the footing, they will be tentative, and they are not going to reach and run with abandon. And Steve said, he said, this is a big kind of tentative horse anyway. And so coming down the hill, he was ginger as can be to maintain his footing. And then as they flattened out and they started to come around the turn, he was feeling more and more comfortable and started to rally. And it was also notable that Joel Rosario, who, as we've discussed, does not go to the stick. Joel was urging him on, and he finished well to be second here after being, what was he back? 9, 10, 11, 12, about 13 lengths at the quarter, at the first call. So one of the variables here that you just... it's a crapshoot. There's horses that you just aren't going to know if they're going to be tentative and nervous about coming down that hill. And that explains plenty. So, good morning to Jenny Reese and Tim Wilkin. A quiet morning otherwise, but not for the communications department. Speaking of communications, Marty McGee is going to join us here, I think, now, Case? Yeah? Not just yet? All right. As we wait for Marty, let me get you the lineup because, of course, it's Twin Spires weekend preview here on At the Races. And Scott Shapiro will join us this hour. Scully, the next hour. Jay Pribman for... I guess, as I wrote to Jay, the big adios... at least the last official visit by Jay as a member of the Daily Racing Forum with his retirement coming. Marty McGee is going to join us, and we'll also hear from, I mentioned Scully, Callie Francois. It's Hi-Ho Pimlico opens today, Marty. Then we've got a treat that is going to last the football season. David Hill, author David Hill, who we all, you know what we think of Dave, who loves to bet and bets sports. He bets politics. He'll bet anything. He has taken over the NFL betting column in the New York Times, and David Hill will join us weekly. Today, a Friday visit, but regularly on Thursday. And, of course, the Bills last night destroying the Rams. Marty.
Dick. What's happening, Big?
Looking forward to seeing you here. The new surgically repaired, the new better than ever, Marty McGee.
I don't know about the better than ever part. Yeah, another surgery for me. So me and the anesthetists' assistants are on first name basis by now. But yeah, I'll be down there tomorrow and Sunday, and they're talking about rain again, Vic. And I hate that because it's just you know, everything's perfect until the rain comes down there, and then it all tends to kind of get crazy. But are you hearing anything as to what chances there are of having some of these races canceled either tomorrow or Sunday?
I don't think you're. I don't. I mean, I said last week it didn't look forecast wise. It didn't look terrible, but right now I'm looking at dark sky and looking actually at the Bowling Green as the point of origin. But in terms of percentage, starting at around 8 a.m., 36% gets up into close to 50%. 10 a.m. and noon, and then starts to diminish at that point. So it feels like, kind of a crapshoot, and doesn't look like in terms of the rate of inch per hour, even that's minimal. So maybe just a kind of a misty kind of a day. But and then Sunday's better actually. So you know, it's funny, Mark. Sunday had been the day that looked the more threatening, and now it's much better. Only a 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. window for light rain.
Well, I hope you're right because, you know, I had one of the trainers telling me yesterday how ominous it looks for them, and somebody else said something. But, you know, I would hate that when they canceled the last four last Saturday, at least they had some leeway in terms of future dates. And, of course, they ended up running Sunday on Monday and then making up some of those Saturday races piecemeal. So, but if they had to cancel tomorrow, especially with these massive races we got going on, you know, that could be problematic with the window so tight, with closing day already having been scheduled for Wednesday, and the Churchill picks up every day after that, you know, starting Thursday night. So, yeah, let's just hope we get them in.
Well, in the meantime, as I was alluding to yesterday's results, and I found the going really tough, Mart. I've had a good start to this meet, but then it's so easy for the wheels to come off. You had that murky for Wesley Ward and Leal win the maiden special second. And to show you, I should have known what kind of day it was going to be. I had put murky in the tabs. And then started that pick four sequence, and I only went three deep. So I should have known what kind of day it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. The first race, I ran one yesterday, and some improbable horse was second, just screwed up all my verticals, because I had Talamo, who was third in that race, keyed in there. But I got real clever and threw out a couple of no hopers, and of course the no hoper, here he comes to run second and, you know, ruin you. But you had a horse yesterday trained by Mike Maker who had not run since January, and it just seems so hard for a horse to win off a layoff like that at Kentucky Downs. But then you realize that Maker points to this meet, and that was a 7-1 winner ridden by Tyler, and it was about the seventh race race, and it's hard to pick them down there, even though, like, Marcus wrote something like the Kentucky Downs home of the inscrutable big fields. You still have some favorites come in, and that's when you're like, well, wait a minute, I thought this was supposed to be a wide open race. Why can't I get an 11-1 shot win? And here comes the 5-2. So, yeah, you zig and they zag.
Well, in the nightcap, for instance, the Joe Allen homebred, the Tappet Philly out of War Flag for Shug, personal best, absolutely was ridden very funny. I mean, Gaffleone was riding her like she was 2-5, and she won like that. I mentioned the stake, the upset of Sharp as Attack, and Private Creed. Nice win for Steve Asmussen and Mike McCarty. The horse you're talking about, Maker for Paradise Farms, One Night Standards. And, you know, this was a race, the eighth. When I talked to Joe Christofek yesterday, Marty, this was one of the races that I thought was just absolutely impossible. And it proved out that way because you know, I picked Mr. Tip. Speaking of Maker, I used Mazuma for Asmussen, who was outposted. But one night standards, and actually 1688, you know, that was a horse that, you know, was just one of the ones. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. That Stellar Lady from McPeak that won the maiden for Elders, or actually that was a two-year-old race. And I know that here's an example, Anaconda. Anaconda, I was lukewarm on, and then I went back and I saw that you and Marcus both picked him.
Yeah, you know, Blind Squirrel and all that, but anyway.
No. Not at all.
Well, you know, that's so anyway, kind of it, that I, that yeah, I, I'm not really, I wasn't really betting on that race, so, you know, it's just, it's such a crazy game, Vic. It just really
it's
is.
Fun. It's fun. So you got to be patient here.
Where are you right now? Are you on that plywood stand there?
Yeah, I'm up on the deck.
Are you solo? There can't be anybody there today, is there?
Well, of course, there's Jenny Reese and Tim Wilkin.
Oh, okay.
The media team.
Yeah. Okay, good. They're doing
7 days a
work,
week.
By the way. You know, Jenny always does. No. God, she works morning, noon, and night, no matter what. So,
exactly. Anyway. Exactly. Well, and Hammer will join us in a little bit. He's got gate duty there down at the Gap, so he's monitoring.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these exercise riders, they're, you know, you got to police them 24/7.
Well, how many horses would be on the course at a time on a day like this?
You know, it depends. I mean, he sort of let them you know, trickle out, you know, a couple at a time. Yesterday, one of the fun things we saw, Joseph O'Brien has got that handful that he brought. In fact, he ran one yesterday that Stay Lost, and he had one of those O'Brien style parades of three horses in a row with the blankie on the butt. They were out there. You know, there might be five at any one time, six horses, you know, kind of
with
the
meandering. Way out on the dogs are way out. They got to stay way out and not stir up the course anymore. Is that what it is? Or do they?
Oh, no, absolutely. And you know, they got the temporary rail up that they'll probably take down for, you know, at some point this afternoon or first thing tomorrow morning, to save those, you know, the inner paths. The inner paths look great. And in fact, you know, it's funny because Ted Nicholson and Hammer were explaining the rationale about, you know, you don't have the option, obviously, of alternating dirt and turf races and sparing the turf course. You got to run, you know, all 8, 9, 10, or 11 races on the course. So it gets a little torn up, and then, you know, that wet weather. You know, there was some discussion that they were a little, they felt like maybe they should have, you know, pulled the cork out of the bathtub a little earlier on Saturday. You know, at this point, they got three cards to run. And as you explained, there's really no margin for error or for any postponements or cancellations.
Yeah. That, by the way, that Joseph O'Brien, I used a little note on. I'm sitting here writing for the Sunday form, and that was one of my small notes, but a couple things that has it been announced yet or revealed that Rich Strike is probably most likely going to run in the Lucas Classic on October 1 at Churchill. I don't know if you had
very good.
Has that been out there?
I have not. I've been handicapping the weekend stuff, and I really haven't.
Yeah.
Wasn't monitoring the Twitter feed.
Yeah. So that's my, no, I didn't put it on Twitter. It's just my lead note for Sunday. Also, did you notice that Dane Kibiski is no longer training? So I kind of caught wind of that a few weeks ago, finally got around to writing it, talking to him this morning. And, the PTK that was such a powerhouse, you know, 8, 10 years ago in Maryland and even here in Kentucky, you know, they've diminished their holding. So Dane, who's crammed a lot of life in his 43 years. He's been in the Marines, and he's done all kinds of racetrack jobs, including, I looked up his record as a jockey. He won like 290 races as a jock. He got too big, and the training, he's won almost 700 races. But he's getting out. He says he's he's had enough, and he's going to continue to serve as a consultant for the PTK. And meanwhile, Dougie Cowens is getting the what remains of the PTK stable. But you know, we've seen a lot of people come and go in this game, and here's another example.
Well, I appreciate you dropping that for us. Well, Marty, let's look into tomorrow. And I have not pulled up the Hermes analysis, so I don't know what you're doing. I'll do that now, and so I can follow along. And of course, you got these $1 million races. Even the ones that are scheduled for less than $1 million are eligible to be bumped up to $1 million. With the participation of grade one winners?
Grade one winner. Yeah, two of them go from whatever they were, 600 or 750 up to $1 million, those being the Ladies Turf, which gets Delica, the newly minted grade one winner of the Beverly D. So that is now a $1 million race. And then also the Ladies Sprint gets Campanelle, who won a group one in Europe as a two-year-old. So that also goes to $1 million. So, I was trying to think, Steve, have you ever seen a card that has as many as five $1 million races? I mean, does Belmont Day do that? I don't know if they actually do five $1 million races.
Nope.
Breeders' Cup would be the only one. You know, of course, some of these, if you're non-Kentucky bred, then the actual purse goes below $1 million. So can we say that then? I'd say no. But, you know, the listed purses are $1 million with these grade one winners in them.
Well, let's take the stakes sequence. And there is the all stakes pick five. But before we get to the all stakes pick five, let's talk about the Mint Million, the rescheduled Mint Million, which has got, the same parties that were ready to go on Saturday. And, you know, I don't think there's any real refresh necessary when you've got, you know, Mr. Dumas and Pixelate, Some Like It Hot Brown, Kentucky Ghost, and Cavalry Charge. Those were, to me, the principles. The question I've got, Marty, is what do you do with Injunction, the Carlos Vacareza Invader that is certainly fast enough if he, you know, makes the successful transition to turf? And I don't count that turf debut against him. That to me, that's a cross out.
Well, Carlo, I saw him last Saturday before the race was postponed. Of course, he comes up and wants to whisper to me how, you know, what a great shot he's got. Watch out for him and all that. So I don't know, Steve. I think he's been a little bit tough in here. You know, you got a couple of new entries from last week. One of them is Field Pass, who is expected to run instead of Pimlico in the BWI turf race there. But Some Like It Hot Brown, who only ran on Travers Eve, and won that off-the-turf stake there. He wasn't entered last week because it was too soon back, but Maker has taken the liberty of running back on 2 weeks' rest, and he will add to the pace in here. You know, he was second in this race last year, which Pixelate capitalized on a hot pace. I don't see why I can't set up again for Pixelate this year. I've got him on top that the morning line maker, and I have neglected to find out who makes the line there, because he's got Pixelate at 5-1. I thought that was a little bit high. He or she. You know who's making the line there?
I don't, actually.
Yeah.
I'll find out.
Here we are.
Let me turn around and ask Jenny Reese.
Yeah. Jenny. 4 or 5 days into the meet.
Who's doing the morning line? Huh? Global Tote? Global Tote is doing the morning line.
Global Tote.
Betmakers. Betmakers.
Okay.
Well, then, I'm going to venture a guess. There's a chance that that Nick Tamaro's doing it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's actually been pretty good, but I just thought Pixelate was a little high in here. Maybe he was accommodating for Field Pass being in there and the new entry of Some Like It Hot Brown. Anyway, Pixelate over a tone for Mr. Dumas. It's the way I picked it last week, and I'm gonna stick to it.
All right. I thought, like I said, I thought there were a handful of horses that were interesting, and I'm going to try to work Cavalry Charge into this from a price standpoint. And last week, I know we were talking about doing something with the Kentucky Ghost, who has run here twice and has a pair of placements, including last year in the in that TVG stake. All right, let's go to the before we go to the stake sequence, I do want to mention there's a couple of interesting, certainly the allowance race that goes as the sixth, I want to mention, because here's Mud Pie for Rusty Arnold, and Rusty seems poised for a potentially big day, and he can be very dangerous here. But Mud Pie is going for a third year in a row victory at Kentucky Downs.
How about that? I got him picked on top without even having known that.
Bingo. Look at that. All right. And then I do want to ask your opinion, Marty, in the maiden race for the two-year-old fillies that's you know, stuck in here, Mitten Drennan, in the middle of the card. kind of a difficult placement. I ended up siding with Firsters, so I'm curious what you're doing in the seventh.
Yeah, I've got Lady Baron over Black Force and Secrets Galore. Lady Baron trained by Brendan Walsh with Tyler riding.
Well, and I've got Lady Baron involved. I think you want to look, take a long look at Ian Wilkes with Southampton Dock. That's 12-1 with Julian. This is an English Channel filly out of Valsus, the Kitten's Joy, that Nathan McCauley bred. And Lady Baron, as you mentioned, for Baron Stables, the Jimmy Creed. Gold-blooded with Rusty. The Golden Sense has a license to be good early as a two-year-old based on sibling strength. And then, you know, Black Forest has got experience, has been second three times. Maybe she's, you know, a refusenik, but she absolutely, you know, has to be used and respected. All right, the all-stakes pick five that starts with the ladies' turf. We're going to go a mile, and you mentioned Delica. You've got five horses out of the ten, Marty, that have got positive experience on this course. Delica, Country Chick, Hendy Woods, Sunny One, and Princess Grace all either have wins or placements at KD.
Well, we know that the Beverly Diva is a merry-go-round with Delica and Princess Grace, who, by the way, happened to be the respective 2-1 finishers in this race last year, with Princess Grace winning by half length over Delica. Clearly, this race will set up in different fashion, I would think, than the Beverly D did. Well, it was two turns, and they just kind of went out of a slow pace. They're going to go the one turn here, shorten up a little bit. There'll be a more hectic pace with the likes of Stolen Holiday and maybe another one or two in there setting the pace. So Al Stahl, I had a talk with him yesterday about what's going to happen with Delica from the rail. He fully expects she'll be, you know, sitting mid-pack as opposed to being on the lead. He says there's not going to be any urgency to make the lead. I you know, she is a determined type of horse, and Al has a lot of good things to say about her. But I'm going to go with Stidham to turn the tables here with Princess Grace over Hendy Woods and Stolen Holiday.
Well, and I've got 5-8-9 kind of ticked off. I've got to use Flippant for Vicky Oliver as part of
it. She is cross-centered. You know, she's supposed to run again either Sunday or Wednesday, I think.
All right.
She's cross-centered. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, not at all. I just, because that's, I, no, okay, it is, yeah, there it is, cross-centered for Sunday. So I'll reach out to Vicky and see what the plan is. All right, well, so if there's no Flippant, then then I'm pretty much with the obvious, I guess. All right, let's go to the sprint. And here, Chewing Gum and Totally Boss. There's Rusty Arnold again. Chewing Gum and Totally Boss both own wins on this course. And Chewing Gum, Rosario, 5-1. Rosario gets on board for the first time since the fall of 2020. I thought there were a few interesting horses. Arrest Me Red's got to be obviously considered from the open air outside box. And Arzak for Trombetta, 9-2. Kaz Kimura. And I thought Front Run the Fed has a look at 15-1.
And you did not mention my top pick, the French bred Bran, being sent Ooh. Here by John Sadler of Flightline fame. And I just thought that this horse really had an interesting look, you know, kind of a kind of a stranger, maybe a 7-to-1 type of horse. I really thought that Arrest Me Red from the open air outside box would be really tough to beat with Irad out there doing what he wants to do. And they've got him 9-to-5 on the line. I think maybe a tick or two lower than that, even though it is really a deep race. Just those big buyers and you know, the Irad and Wesley Ward axis going for him. You know, he's in such good form, and he's definitely a horse to beat. So I've got it Brand, Arrest Me Red, and then I'm a big fan of Totally Boss. I got him third.
Turn to the Turf Cup, the mile and a half standard, which is one of the I guess it's one of the original stakes here, right? That this as long as I've been aware of Kentucky Downs, this race has been on one of the centerpieces.
Yeah, they've got it the 31st running. So, you know, if you go back to 1990, I thought they only ran steeplechase races then. So, and they missed a couple of years, I believe, in the mid-90s. So I don't know how it's the 31st, but there it is right on the overnight, 31st running of the Grade 2 $1 million Kentucky Turf Cup. And in this race, I did have a chance. Christoph Clement called me back a couple days ago when I was, you know, as everyone else, quite intrigued in the Sword Dancer, the two-time Sword Dancer winner coming back for this kind of race. And he said, I could not find a reason not to run him. He said he came out of the race in tremendous fashion. He acknowledged that all the quote-unquote experts say 5 or 6 weeks between races, but he thought the timing of this was good in that he can also, if he wants, run back in the Joe Hirsch, which I believe is October 8th at Aqueduct. And, you know, he'll be all set to come back to Kentucky for the Breeders' Cup. And, the way he closed like a powerhouse, I know this is a quirky course. He may or may not like it, but I think Gufo is definitely the one to beat. I think 7-to-5 is a good morning line on him. So I've got it Gufo, Admission Office, another stout closer, and the all-reliable Arklow, who's been first or second in all four of his prior runs in the Kentucky Turf Cup.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Arklow's success over the course. In addition to Arklow, Red Knight from Mike Maker down inside, and Maker's also got Glynn County. Those are the three horses in this field that have got success here. The price I want to get involved, another mystery, Lures Arad Ortiz, Chris Block, 15-to-1. So I'm going to work. I agree about Gaffo, but I want to work another mystery onto the tickets.
Yeah, and he's got a guy named Flavian Pratt riding him, too.
Well, the ladies sprint, the fourth leg of this all stakes pick five. And again, horses that have been successful here, Violenza for Ian Wilkes, Toby's Heart, Brian Lynch, Lynchy, who loves it here. And In Good Spirits, the Al Stahl that very famously, that was the horse that, you know, barely made the van last year and then got here just in time to spring basically a win that lined a lot of pockets, a lot of our listeners at 15-to-1. So she's back.
That was a great story, wasn't it? I'd totally forgotten about that. But yeah, he was incredulous as to how you got to listen to this. You know, 20 minutes we're scratching her and all that. And it was kind of like the Rich Strike story, whereby, you know, it was last minute entry and all that off the also eligibles. But anyway, Toby's Heart, she will never owe me a dime. I hit a lick on her on Thurby this year, and she was my key in a pick five that blew up. So I got her on top of Campanelle, the horse who's making this a $1 million race, with Jouster third. Jouster, I always thought she was kind of a sprint type as opposed to the stretch out type. So Toby's Heart, Campanelle, and Jouster for me, Beck.
Very good. I've got Toby's Heart and Campanelle, and a couple of interesting potential players worth mentioning. I don't know. I mean, Creative Credit is going to be hard-pressed probably to wire this field, but she could take them a very long way. And there's a chance that she hangs on at a nice number to, you know, to get a share. And Brooke Marie appealed to me a little bit. Eddie Keneally and the Lemon Drop Kid mare. And I'm surprised, actually, that that she hadn't, you know, she in her career had never visited here, Brooke Marie. So those were two that I've got dollar signs.
Okay, I got Chris. Okay, sorry about that. I got Chris Block as my sleeper in there with She Can't Sing, Hard Knocker. I think the role of creative credit in there, Steve, is to soften up Campanel for some of these other strangers. So, yeah.
The Franklin Simpson closes things out. Another one of the long-running affairs here, 6.5 for the boys. And the only horse in the field, interestingly, that has got a marker at Kentucky Downs is Heaven Street, the Street Sense colt of Brendan Walsh's that came here and won last year, won the allowance, and kind of jumped up a little bit. You know, feels like a horse that, you know, with a little added maturity, going to be a huge price in here, and blinkers go on. Got the big price sign next to Heaven Street's name.
I mean, Big Invasion, he's 8-5 on the line. Yeah. He's got to be 4-5, doesn't he? I mean, I'm looking up this, what day was this? Oh, it was February 19th at Gulfstream. This horse has won 6 in a row. And that day, for some reason, I watched the race outside at Gulfstream when he broke his maiden. And I came in and I said to Acacia Courtney, who, of course, is Christophe Clement's daughter-in-law, I said, they think this is a good horse, don't they? And she said, oh, yeah. And damn if he hadn't gone on and run huge every time since then. I don't know how they beat him. And he'll be the linchpin in many, as a single in many a multi-race sequence here, I would think, to end the day.
Agreed. And certainly, you know, got him on top. All in sync for Asmussen, though. The McLean's Music coming off the turf sprint win, sort of those preview races that are run at Ellis, and in fact has won a pair at Ellis. One was off the turf, but all in sync for the Oars. Quite okay, I think, in here. 10-1, and then go outside to Asymmetric for Wesley, 8-1 with IRAD, and I thought Cassie was worth including at a price coinage. So I went 6 with the 5-10-4.
I've got it. Big Invasion over Sumter and Asymmetric myself. So yeah,
6, 5, 10, 11. I should say. There you go. And then Marty, I haven't looked much at Sunday, but they got the Untappable and the Music City, and then the Ladies Marathon.
Well, I hope the weather holds up, Vic, because man, it's such a logistical nightmare when the rain comes down there, you know, to the extent that it softens up the course too much. But, yeah, fingers crossed, and I'll see you in the morning.
Marty, one last question. Our friend Vince the Stevedore, and haven't referenced the Queen's passing yet, which we really should do, given her absolute love of equestrian sport and her campaigning of a lot of good horses. I put up the link to the video of her winning the Gold Cup in 2013. But Vince is asking, were you on hand when she visited in 2007?
I was at the Derby that year, and I think that's all she did was at the Derby. Yeah. So I was not there in 1984. That was the year before I actually became started professionally in the industry was 85. But I was not there in 84 when Keith Allen rode Centra with the Queen on hand to watch that inaugural running of the QE2 at Keeneland.
Well, all right, let me at the break. All right. Okay, Marty, I wanted to slip in one other thing. We mentioned, of course, Jay with you last week, but another colleague acknowledged with Mike Welch yesterday. Nice nod to Mike by the Turf Riders.
Yeah, he and Tom Padula are both going to be honored at our November 2nd dinner in Lexington as the winner of the Walter Haight Award. And I can't think of anybody more deserving than Mike. He puts in ungodly hours at his craft, and he's been at it. He's been at it more than 50 years. He started with the form in 72, if you can believe that.
Wow, but, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And just think of all the man hours he's put in for DRF. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time as always. And congrats to him and to Mattress Mac. Was voted our the Mr. Fitz Award, and I sure hope he shows up and makes us all laugh and everything else. But it's going to be a fun night November 2nd in Lexington at Malone's.
Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, and you can look forward to a Marty McGee picture that I will send out to everybody like we did last year when he get it when Marty
I'll try and wear my Saturday
visits,
best.
I love it. Mart, thank you.
See you, buddy.
Marty McGee, folks. Stay here, of course, and thanks to, I guess, my car. I didn't think anybody would be around.
Okay.
All right. Huh?
He said it just has a little scratch.
Ah, there you go. A little scratch. All right. Scott Shapiro is going to join us next, and we'll get Scott's last glances at Del Mar. Jay Bridman as well, actually, so we got a little back-to-back on the Del Mar action. And we'll table this giant stack of Kentucky Downs PPs. It's a thick, you know, I even did some, when it came to the maidens, I even did some both side printing to try to, keep the thing, you know, about three quarters of an inch, maybe an inch. I've only looked at races five through 12 tomorrow. Marty seems more concerned about the weather than I had been, but of course I sort of misread the tea leaves last week too. But it's crazy here how yesterday wasn't supposed to be as gorgeous as it was. So you pays your money, you takes your chances, as the saying goes. Scott Shapiro standing by. Shap, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Steve?
Excellent, excellent. And with the NFL starting up too, we'll get in addition to David Hill visiting with us, we will get Scott Shapiro and Scully's plays each weekend. But Scott, Del Mar comes to a close. It's almost like a little bonus weekend
bonus.
At Del Mar, even
yeah.
though, right?
Yeah, I wanted to first thank you for bringing the good weather to Kentucky. I know it's a limited thing, so appreciate that. But exciting to close out the Del Mar meet. We got the NFL started yesterday. We've got Churchill on the horizon, Kentucky Downs, of course. So should be yet another a fun few days here.
Well, let's dive in. Start with the Del Mar action. I don't know if you have anything, if you want to do anything for today. Should mention there's a nice maiden group going a mile on the turf, the two-year-old fillies, and then there's the I'm Smoking leading into the weekend.
Yeah, let's start with a couple plays for today. Late part of the card, race 5 is the first play. That I'll be jumping in on a state bred filly and mare allowance event, 6.5 furlongs. And I like number 11, Cause She's a Lady in here. Second start off the claim for trainer Doug O'Neill. First start came on August 7th over this racetrack when she was drawn along the inside, and I thought ran a credible second at nearly 12-1. I like the move to an outside draw, Steve. I like the return to the cowbred ranks. I think she should get a good trip. She's got speed, so if no one wants to go, which I don't think will be the case, Kyle Frey can take control, but with that outside draw, I think he can just sit just off the early pace, a trip that's worked so well for the most part at this meeting. And O'Neill, 32% last 50 starters, second off the claim, positive ROI, 62% have finished in the money. So we'll roll with number 11, cause she's a lady in the fifth today, which kicks off the late pick four sequence.
Very good.
And then the other play today, probably more of a more likely winner, a little shorter price. I'll be keying in on for sure in the late horizontals, and that's in the sixth, the two-year-old filly maiden special weight event. And I like number two, La Pierre, who picked it up on the turn in the debut effort for Phil D'Amato. That was a five-furlong affair at the same level, protected maidens. Didn't get out of the gates all that well. And had some significant trouble that day, to say the least, at odds of 9-2. Now the blinkers go on. We stretch out the two turns, and we get Flavian Pratt, who's in town riding this weekend. He obviously had a huge day for Pacific Classic Day. I expect him to notch a lot of wins over the next few days, and I think he'll do so with number two, La Pierre. Hopefully we'll get close to the 3-1 morning line price. I expect her to take quite a bit of money, but I think we can build our late horizontal wagers around her.
Okay.
The I'm Smoking that you mentioned, I thought was pretty, looked pretty formful. I thought you could make a case for the top few in there. Don't see much value, but Kangaroo Court, a deserving favorite after running two big races for Tim Yacht Team. The rail, a little bit of a challenge, but no real strong opinion in there.
Okay.
On to Saturday?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to start in race five again on the final Saturday card of the meet. And I thought number eight, Bang for Your Buck, ran too good to lose in his first start off a little bit of a freshening for Blake Keep. And that start on August 6th was in the California Dream at $150,000 state bred event. Losing by a head, it was a blanket finish. This horse was 22-1 that day. The winner, Cara Melita's Man, a razor sharp horse that came back to beat open company allowance foes for Dean Patterson, who give a shout out to him. He's had an amazing meet with limited starters, won far more than he's lost, which is saying a lot, of course. And I think Bang for Your Buck has good tactical speed, doesn't need the lead, but can take control early if need be. And I think at 6-1, and I'm not picking this horse, Steve, because the owner and breeder are the same namesake as myself, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas A. Shapiro. I actually do like on paper.
I like it.
6-1, so I think a wide open event. I'm not sure exactly what price we'll get. A lot of horses in that mid-range price with a 4-1 favorite. So we'll see, but I think Bang for Your Buck is set for another big effort in this one.
All right.
Race six, a race I'm sure that, I'm not sure, but, race I know you like as well. Lots of pedigrees, lots of firsters and second-time starters for maidens. Was there any particular pedigrees that stood out to you?
Honestly, I've got the paper here, but I did not get a chance to go through these.
Gotcha. I thought that might be the case. Didn't mean to put you on the spot there. But it's interesting, though, because there's three Bafferts in here. One with experience, and that's Hajazi, comes off the also-eligible list, or will need to draw in off the also-eligible list. This horse was $3.5 million New York bred, for those that might remember the Zidane Racing Stable, son of Bernardini. Got turned away by Classical Cat, who will run in the Del Mar Futurity on Sunday. But if that one draws in, obviously he's going to be the one to beat and will probably take a ton of money again. There's two Baffert firsters, number nine, Fort Bragg. Interesting pedigree on this one, Steve. A son of Tappet, $700,000, not surprising there. But the dam, March Express, you might remember from Saratoga, won on debut for Pletcher and then came back to win the Bolton Landing. But a turf sprint pedigree on the bottom with Tappet on the top. Interesting, it's a... probably well meant, probably can run quite a bit, but I found it kind of a tricky read at first asking. I ended up rolling with the other Baffert, the Florida bred. That's number four, Speedboat Beach. And not really much pedigree that I found that was intriguing, but which kind of made it that much more interesting because this Florida bred sold for $200,000 at the OBS sale back in March, being by Bayern, who stands for just 7,500. And like I said, the dam side pedigree is a little underwhelming, but these Florida breads can be quick, 5.5 furlongs, and Flavian Pratt jumps aboard. So that's who I landed on, and I gave looks to Fleet Feet and Long Shot Roll on Big Joe underneath. Fleet Feet was spotted ambitiously by George Papapodromo in the Grade 3 Best Pal, going off at almost 46-1. Didn't run all that great, but split the field that day, and should appreciate getting back taking on non-winners. And then Roll On Big Joe seems a little sneaky in here. It's a Florida bred for Bob Hess Jr. that took on Florida bred at Gulfstream on debut back in August. Got out of the gates well, was out sprinted along the inside, and just didn't appear to like the kickback. But now eligible for the ship and win bonus. They spent $90,000 for this son of Prospective, who stands for just 3K. Just seems like there's more to this horse than maybe meets the eye in that first start. So I'm going to include this one at 20-1.
Nice. All right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That Gun Bullet, I know that Gun Bullet's a half to that. Remember Royal
Mo? Yep. Looks like two turns to me, you know, but these gun runners have proven that wrong. But, you know, Royal Mo, third in 2017 Santa Anita Derby, I think won the Bob Lewis before that. So definitely one of the more well-bred, if not the best-bred horse in the field. But I think may need one, but the gun runners have proven me wrong many times at first asking so far. So definitely one worth watching at the very least.
All right.
And then the last two plays of the Saturday card, race 10, $40,000 claimer for three-year-olds, 6 furlongs over the main track. And there looks to be a lot of early speed in here, looking for somebody that can relax and finish. And I'm hoping it's number one, Stormy Pattern, who was completely outrun back on July 24th, the early part of the meet. The winner that day, though, was Hail Freedom, who's now a 4-time-in-a-row winner for Doug O'Neill, ran a 99 Brisnet speed rating in the race after this one. And that was this one's first try gone two turns, had come out of a couple mile races at Gulfstream, which, of course, is a one-turn configuration. And I think has the ability to sit along the inside here in a mid-pack spot if Edwin Maldonado is able to relax them. I like this one getting a race over the track and now being freshened up after chasing and a hot pace there. And pretty good price, 8-1. So I think Stormy Pattern is set to run a lot better than he did against better earlier on in the meet.
Excellent. All right.
And then the final race is a maiden special 8 for Phillies and Mares on a mile over the sod. And there's a few in here that have ability, but they've lacked the will to win and have burnt quite a bit of money so far. Velvet has lost at 5-2 or less in 5 starts. Leisure Wears burn a bunch of money. Kitty Katana has 3 underneath finishes since arriving in the state. So I'm going to take a swing on top of using those underneath with number 5, Maeve of Canoe. I think I'm pronouncing that right. 15-1. Second start in the states for Patty Gallagher. The first start in the states, like happens so often, got out of the gate slowly and didn't do all that much running early, but finished pretty well. Beaten less than 3 lengths, and I like the way this one galloped out, and it just seems like that should set her up for a big effort here for the Eclipse Thoroughbred partners, and should get a good price with all the horses coming in off of these underneath finishes for bigger barns. So we'll take a big swing to close out the card.
There you go. All right. Have you done much on Sunday? Did you look ahead to the Futurity?
I looked only at the Futurity so far. And, you know, no surprise that Bob Baffert has a big chance to win this. He's only won it 15 times at this point. he's got 3 in here. He's got the best towel winner in having a meltdown. He's 2-for-2. Now tries 7 furlongs, which I think could be a challenge. No one's won the best towel in the Del Mar Futurity since 2016 when Baffert's Klimt did it. I think he meets a much tougher field here. Of the other two that are coming off maiden wins, you have Newgate, who was 1-2 and 1 in professional fashion, but a man with Cave Rock eye-popping in that win on August 13th. Yep. You know, just fast early, fast late. I don't really have much desire in trying to beat Cave Rock, and you're not going to get much value with the ones I like, you know, second. Like, I think Newgate's probably the next likeliest winner, and probably the other Baffert and have the meltdown. So I'm gonna key around Cave Rock. I don't know what kind of price we'll get. Probably not a very good one, though.
No, it might be, you know, kind of a spectacle, but there's also the potential, and I'm sure, you know, sheep players, when they see the number, would probably come out tonight. They may say this, you know, how does this horse not react to that? So,
The thing
that's interesting, the thing that's amazing, there's really only having a meltdown is the only one that shows real front end speed, which is a little unusual to have all these maiden type winners, and you know, you got the Best Pal runner up from Mark Glatt as well, but a lot of them were stalk and go types, and some from off the pace. So it's a little unusual at this early stage of a season to have these kinds of 2 year olds and, you know, not have wire to wire speed, other really than Cave Rock and a little bit to having a meltdown. So it may just be a case of Cave Rock making them chase, and he's far enough outside to avoid any early issues. You know, if he was in the one hole, you might make it easier for you to project some issues. But this will be, I'm not gonna say it's a flight line-esque kind of a scenario to watch, but I'm anxious to. Jay's joining us next. I'm anxious to hear Jay's thoughts about how to view Cave Rock going into Sunday.
Yeah, no, good points on the draw key. I would presume having a meltdown will send Juan Hernandez, will try to get off the rail and sit second with Juan Hernandez. With Cave Rock, and Newgate will probably sit, you know, in the next tier, you would think, and. You, it's hard to imagine they're gonna battle early with each other, but I think Baffert winning this race this year, as it's been the case many years, probably 1-5, maybe. Might be a little over aggressive there. I don't know, but he definitely seems to have the three that I'd be most interested in. I guess Classical Cat, who I mentioned, beat Hijazi, that pricey New York bred, draws the rail after having the far outside in that win. Kind of gave Umberto Rispoli some options after breaking on top. Now has to go. So maybe he, if he's fast enough, could mix things up a little bit. But outside of that, like you said, there's just not a ton of early gas, especially for a race like this.
Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Chap 34. Scott, before we go, how about your NFL looks?
Well, instead of giving a... an against the spread pick for week one, can we give a win total play for the year?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I like the Lions to outperform this year. The total 6.5, their win total, and they lost a ton of games last year in close fashion. People might remember when Justin Tucker broke the field goal record to beat them in one of those tough losses. And they've added, their offensive line's good. They've got a lot of talent on offense. I think this team is going to be a 500 team. Coach Dan Campbell, they play hard for them. So I'm pretty heavy on over Lions. One of these years, the Lions are going to be good, and I'm hoping it's this year.
6.5 wins. Well, let them get 7 for those that are going to go with you. But I don't want to see one of them be
not
Sunday.
Not Sunday, right?
That's the Eagle,
well, I
right?
have the Eagles to win the division too as a play this year. Yeah. You know, I think the Cowboys are a little underwhelming, and I just can't see the Giants and the Commanders, as they're now called, being a factor. So I got no problem with letting you have one on Sunday.
I love it. Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Chap 34. Let's take the break, and when we come back, Jay Privman And it's certainly not going to be Jay's last visit, but it'll be his last one as a member of the staff of the Daily Racing Form. At the races, we're live at Kentucky Downs, hour two. Going to check in with Jay. We're going to do the first visit with David Hill, who's doing the NFL column for the New York Times this football season, and Scully this hour as well. Stay with us back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit returns to Los Alamitos with opening day set for Friday, September 16th. Four stakes races highlight the meet led by the Los Alamitos Special on Saturday, September 24th. The meet will feature stakes every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And racing fans, the meet will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 24th. You could win a berth to the 2022 NHC. And racing fans, the best of night racing continues at Los Alamitos every Saturday and Sunday night. Outstanding racing action is in store this weekend with stakes trials highlighting the racing card. Plus, our nighttime $2 pick six continues to be a popular wager. If there's not a carryover going into our Sunday night program, Los Alamitos will add $10,000 to the pick six pool. That's more money for the horse players to win. The best of racing, the best of nighttime quarter horse racing, always at Los Alamitos. Remember, daytime thoroughbred racing returns on Friday, September 16th.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse